Desire that tonight, Father. Thy word is life unto us. Thy precious word created this universe, spoke these worlds into existence. Hallelujah, for it is written, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Father, we thank you for this precious word tonight. Oh, it's our life, it's our everything. Hallelujah, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will. For heaven will pass me, but not one jot or one tittle of your word shall in any wise fail. We've come tonight, Father, into your house, coming right into your presence by faith. Lord, confessing our sins and our shortcomings, all our mistakes and our failures, placing our faith in the precious atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, it might be applied to our confession tonight, Lord. Oh, it might be applied to our sins tonight. Hallelujah. And dear God, we can feel the liberty of the Holy Spirit as the bleach of the blood break up. Oh God, every stain, every spot, Lord. Hallelujah. And our faith that comes by the word. Lord, can stand justified with confidence in our presence tonight. To have fellowship, communion with you. Oh gracious God, may you speak to each and every one tonight. May you get honor and glory in your service. May you unfold your word, Lord. May faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, that the word be quick and sharp and powerful. Hallelujah. Lord, it becomes so straight, dear God. It be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Truly, oh God, I pray in the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which will move in the word tonight. You'll unveil yourself. You'll unveil your purpose. You'll speak your word. You'll make the way clear. We'll see the hour. We'll know the revealed will of God. We'll see the plan of God for our lives. We will know to line up in this great hour, that we can come into harmony with you. We can walk in the rhythm of this great symphony. Oh God, may you grant it tonight. How we come with anticipation. How we believe, looking unto you, expecting to receive tonight. That you, the author and finish of our faith, dear God. You have begun this work in us. Hallelujah. Lord, we'll do something special tonight. That we are your workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Have your own way tonight, Father. May you bless each and every one that is in your divine presence. May you get honor and glory in this service. Dear God, we believe, surely may our hearts be established in that truth. Every burden lifted, the faith of your people inspired, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, walk with confidence. Hallelujah. Following that pillar of fire, the great Jehovah, under whose leadership, hallelujah, we are living this hour. Oh God, may you grant it, Father. We love you and we appreciate you. We come back to stand at our post at duty tonight. We come back to take our positions, oh God. We come back, oh God, Father, keep pressing this battle. Hallelujah. Oh, we say plant our feet in high ground tonight, Lord. God, may you grant it tonight. Hallelujah. May the Spirit of the living God just have your way. And trust to break the bread of life and feed our souls with the revealed truth. In Jesus' wonderful name, Father, we pray and ask this as we submit ourselves unto you. Amen. And amen. Praise his wonderful name. God bless you. Have a seat. I don't mean to have a seat. I'm sorry to make you sit down so quick. I want to go back to the Word. So you just stand and turn with me in your Bibles. I'd like to go to the book of James, James chapter 1. This little thought is coming to my heart today, and I'm trying to sift it up a little bit. And I kind of wonder why the Lord was attracting me to that, and I just want to follow that in the service tonight and see what is going to unfold to us that might help us in this hour that we are living in, that we may know how to walk and we may understand better His will for us, know how to line up, we could have great faith and trust Him to do the exceedingly abundantly, to fulfill His word, it be coming unto us, to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. So let's just stand in God's house with purpose, with conviction tonight. We come here for a purpose. We are gathered here with a deep-rooted conviction in our hearts that as believers who God have called in this last day by this message, who is preparing and making ready. We had a wonderful time in the meetings, the brothers have left, but we will have to keep pressing the battle by God's grace. We ain't hit that spot yet, and the Jesus of the living God, I just have to keep fighting, pressing until the Lord Jesus comes. Amen. So let's just keep tonight in His word and with the blessing and the inspiration in your heart, the joy bells, just use that for God's glory to throw it deeper into His word. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. James 1, verse 13. You can read from. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. He has lust in him, and he's drawn away because he has lust in him. And when he's drawn away, he comes into temptation. He's enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Don't just remain lust. You don't just get under temptation and go through mind battles and fight and try to resist and try to resist and try to resist. And when you fail to mortify his members that are upon the earth, what happens? See, lust conceives and then it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, after sin run its course, after it go through its process in that person's life, sin which was lost at one time, which when Satan set his snares and his pitfalls and bring his conditions and bring his influences and try to entice you, and when sin runs go, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And death is eternal separation from the presence of God. This death is not just talking of physical death. Because this sin is because unbelief lies in the soul. Is that right? Amen. And to me, Psalm 7. From about verse 11. God judges the righteous. Notice how it says that? It didn't say God judges the unrighteous. God judges the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will wet his sword, he will bend his bow and made it ready. He had bent his bow and made it ready. He had also prepared for him the instruments of death. For he ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. See? Man travailing with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. No, that the first the conception, and then a man going to birth pains. But what is he giving birth to? He begin to travail like a woman when she always comes. She goes into travail, and then she brings forth what she was conceived with. But notice something: she's only bringing forth what she was conceived with. What seed was planted in her? In other words. Like a woman when she's conceived, she have a fetus. See? Then she has an embryo rather. Then it goes to her fetus and then it comes forth into a child. But she receives seed. So notice that it grows and develops. You just keep that in your mind, like the scripture says, whatever seed starts in the church, it grows into a plant and then to the fruit. It's only a development of the life that's in the seed. And that's why when people take things into their heart, you watch some people for years, they carry a bad attitude. You watch them today, they try to come out of it and they can't come out of it. You watch some people under pain and hardship, under tears and sorrow, they made the wrongs right and with a little sincerity because they want to walk close to God. You watch them today coming into victory, coming into power. See, why? Because what was planted in you, what you kept on watering in the air, in one season like you couldn't bring it forth. If a woman, after she can see, try to bring forth a child next to her, she can't bring forth no child. She can try as hard as she wants. She may interpret her pains to mean she travailed. She may get disappointed because her knowledge is wrong. But in this season, she will bring forth. Is that right? All right now. He made a pit and digged it and it's fallen into the ditch which he made. See? The same pit he digged, he's going to fall into it, like Haman with David. He had mischief in his heart, right? It's going to falsehood, deceit. And then what happened? He was hung with the same gallows. His mischief shall return upon his own head. And what Galatians says, whatever man sow, that shall he also reap. And his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. It also means a head. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord. Most High. Amen. Blessed be thee. Let's pray one more time. Father, how great is that word, how precious it is. Lord, as we would endeavor to speak your word tonight and try to bring forth something that would cause the people to think, to examine the hour, to observe close to the day that we are living in. To meditate upon that word, to wait in their hearts and their minds, to pray over it, to seek you, to get a hold of a real revelation. God is long past plain church, and how we need to stand and know where we are standing. Oh God, we truly look to see the reality, Lord. We don't just want to be in tunes, we don't just want to be happy, but we want to be anchored. Deeply rooted and established, grounded to a place where we cannot be shaken, where we cannot be removed. Hallelujah. Oh God, let your word tonight go forth in power. Let it be made plain in every heart. May challenge our faith and cause us to walk closer to you this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I would like that for a little background. I would like to take a very strange way to build on something here. I don't know where I'm going, and I'm just trying to follow certain thoughts that just seem to move right into my mind today, and it just got before you might give me a problem. I'm just still trying to search out a little bit some of it that I can just see where God will lead with this. I would like to take for a title, Two Gentile Women Coming into Power. Two Gentile Women Coming into Power. And I'm just using that from something I'm reading in the Seven Church Ages. And you want to look at this and examine it. I think it's a very, very interesting scripture, because what David is saying here in the Psalms is very close to what James was saying. It shows how something begins. James is talking about lust conceiving in a person's heart. Conception taking place. But it's a seed of lust. To covet, to desire something. And it's something wrong, because it begins wrong and it produces death in the end. But when it was a little lust, it didn't look like being separated from the presence of God. Because it didn't become sin yet. And sin didn't run its course to become death yet. It just keeps snowballing and becoming more and more advanced as it goes on, and developing and becoming greater. And so we see that things that start in a little tiny seed form, as it grows and develops. You know, when you watch, we look at ourselves today. We look at ourselves in the mirror. Some maybe weigh 200 pounds, some weigh maybe 100 and something pounds, some maybe 6 feet tall, some maybe. But then when you look back and see biologically how we started, you have to look at us under a microscope. But look what we developed into today. It's still the same body. It is just a development of the union of the sperm and the egg that was so small you had to look at it under a microscope to see it. And I look at you today, and if I were to tell you that the sperm and the egg that made you was one out of millions. So small, yet you feel so powerful within yourself. Yet a man will go out and work and live a great heavy things and work with such energy and determination. Seems so strong, consume so much food. And feels so important. He like how his nose is, he like how his hand is. People walk about today, you know, in all kind of little armless clothes, and because they want to show their body, they want to show how powerful they look. They want to display themselves. They want to go on a stage and pose. Women who modeling, or bodybuilders who exhibit in the flesh. And it's just an age where flesh is being glorified. It's being put in the public view. It's being made to be admired. They have all the clothes to designed to make the flesh appealing. They have all the health food shops to make the flesh, you know, seem so important than everything else. And so much emphasis in this day is put upon the flesh, so much cosmetics to beautify it. That when you look at it, you know, it makes you think. It makes you wonder, you know, if people put such an emphasis upon the soul. And then you see even the realm of religion, the world church has been so taken over that everything is becoming external and outward the same way. Is the church building becoming bigger? Is the nicer pews? Is the plush carpet and the raw choirs and the stained window panes and the big congregations and, you know, and is more and more an exhibition of something external. And when we look at the vastness of the universe today,
And more and more that they discover there's billions and billions of galaxies. Not just planet, galaxies out there. That they realize that God spoke it into existence. And yet the Bible says in the beginning God created. One thought! In the mind of God, when it's expressed, when it's spoken, when his thought became his word, and his word became a manifestation, it produced billions of galaxies, billions of universes. Now we look out here, but it's one of many of the thoughts that God had in his mind, which make up the very word of God. One concept that God had, which he expressed to man here. Such great big things, but yet where it started. You see a man, they put up the Hall of Justice, it's a great big massive building, the Red House, the Twin Towers in Trinidad here, and it becomes big landmarks. But it was just a thought in the mind of an architect. And you could walk through it's beautiful halls, and it's nice marble corridors, and you look at the great stately rooms, and see the design, the impact, and the power that it represents. That, you know, it attracts visitors from far and near. When people walk within the streets, they feel proud and a sense of dignity to know that this is our country and these are our great buildings and these things. This is our city. But yet these were little thoughts. But then those thoughts, when they laid the foundation, begin to build brick and stone upon stone, and they begin to build until finally the construction was over. And the entire big monument of a building stood there. But the seed all started in the form of a germ, in a thought, in the mind of a man. And so we realize that things originate from the air and grow out of that and develops and begins to become great and great in its expression. So spiritually we are seen in the world that loss. What a man may identify as an impulse within him, as an urge, as a crave, as certain thoughts that is appealing or a passion, whether it is for power, whether it is for flesh, whether it is for money, whether it is for fame. It springs forth. Look at Adolf Hitler, maybe a little boy growing up there, but he had a little desire. Maybe he wanted to be superior over his little playmates in his classroom. Maybe he want to be superior to them on the sports team or something. And maybe he grew up again in his politics. He wanted to be among his contemporaries out there. Until finally the man ego it grew and grew. Until the man wanted to take over the whole world. But what was inside of him as a little germ? What he wanted? What he became obsessed with? What passion drove him? What opportunities he looked for to capitalize upon? What he spent his time and his energies in the nighttime studying the books and these things to outdo somebody? And then finally began to get power into his hand. And then he took Poland, and that wasn't enough. And then he took France, and that wasn't enough. And then he took Czechoslovakia and all the countries around, and then that wasn't enough. And then finally, you want to take over the whole world. Now, it's so things become. But you see, the same way that works in a negative form, the same with Abraham. Here the man, look at his soul, people play with children, and they wanted a child. And he had affection for children. And he couldn't bear none. And he'd play with others maybe. And then it kept growing and growing. And he was to become a father of many nations, to have seed like the stars and the heaven, the sand and the seashore, which is innumerable. God knows how to put it in the heart of the believer to crave for certain things. To desire, to draw for certain things, to pull for certain things. Yeah. And as that begins to work, it becomes strong, and even the word of God is growing a certain strength. Yeah. It's giving a bit of faith to step out, to believe. Yeah. And then you know the obstacles become harder, and the trials may come hard and the persecutions may come. Yet there's something within you rising and pushing you to keep persevering until this thing become a reality. Amen. No matter what times you get knocked down, there's something that will rise up and keep pressing on again. Amen. And the same way, when you see another man wants it, like Lucifer. He looked along in heaven, he wanted a kingdom like Michael. And he started and get kicked out of heaven. And he came down the air in Eden and he started again. And God destroyed that in the flood. And he rose up in Nimrod and he started again. And it's good until he has his Eden and he's about to be crowned as God now over this entire world. All nations come together. Break up all these stuff. He's shaping the world right now to take full, complete control of this world system. To become its leader. And the Bible prophesied he's going to do that. He'll be sitting in the temple of God and be a worshiper as God in 2 Thessalonians 2. The son of perdition. The man of sin. The devil incarnate. Could you imagine that this generation is going to worship the devil incarnate in the form of a religious leader? Why? Because they rejected this entire message. Because they rejected the opening of the seven seals. Because they rejected the end time prophet. They rejected the vindicated word. Yet God, rich in mercy, have come down. Amen. And have covered these things. But they say it's too critical. They find it's too critical. It's too harsh. It's too old fashioned in this modern age. But the Bible says, for rejecting that word, demon spirits will take over the human race. Because you can't serve two masters at what Jesus said. Is that right? And they love one and hate the other. And they will love the God of this world and the things the God of this world will give them. Like a child to give Jesus, I'll give you a kingdom. Command these stones to be bread and meat. Things of the flesh. Think for the gratification of the human spirit to exalt itself, position, importance, power, material things. When a man carries a seed down in his soul, a little desire, he wants that, he wants this, he likes that, and he craves it. And he pulls it through his soul. And it looks nice. And when the word comes forth and shows the beauty of God, the character of God, the nature of God, the promise of God, it don't attract his attention. It is strange for him. He wants to belong to the worldly crowd. Then he is killing that other desire. And this other one becoming alive and the tears that is sown within him is overcoming the little grain of wheat inside of the air. It gets one. And that desire, that hunger that might be for God eventually becomes dead. And it just swallowed by things of the world that come through reasoning, that comes through education, that comes through imagination, that looks fashionable, that looks accepted in the eyes of society. And he's not watching and seeing, well, it can't be wrong because the whole world doing it. And they find a false satisfaction. Well, if I'm going to punish, the whole world will punish, so I won't feel too bad. That don't make the punishment easy. Amen. The punishment is destruction, the lake of fire. Amen. Amen. Would God do the whole world that? Did he do it in the days of Noah? Yes. Did he say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the coming of man? Yes. If that is wrong, then God is a liar. Yes. But God said, it's impossible for God to lie. Heaven and earth will pass, but not one jot or one tittle of my word shall in any wise fail. Yes. Let every man's word be a lie. Let God's word be the truth. Yes. So then what happens? Then we realize then we are living in an hour when the word of God is the most important thing to us. It's the only thing that will not pass away. We are living in an hour when we need to check our desires. See what it is growing in us. What is becoming stronger within us. What power is beginning to influence us. What opposition rise up inside of us to keep us back from the things of God. Is only something you allow to grow and develop. Not just moving you and take you over soon. No. It's something that you water. It's something that maybe you didn't see as wrong. It's something that the word told you is wrong and you didn't see it like the way the word say. It's something that the word tell you is wrong and you see a man trying to control your life. So you didn't take it. Yet you knew it was in the Bible. And then when you try to change from it, it's too far gone. Look at Lot's wife. When Sarah was receiving faith to be changed and become back young, look at Lot's wife. She could not be changed. She changes, but not into a young woman, into a pillar of salt. She had the wrong change. Is that right? Why? Because the thing that she loved, oh, she outwardly, she professed she believed in God. Outwardly, she professed, well, there used to be Abraham. How does she profess that she believed Abraham as a prophet? How does she profess these things?
Amen.
But internally, she was swallowed up with a world that took her over. She had no example, she had no influence upon her daughters. Because she, to begin with, was no example. Her daughters end up married to homosexuals. End up committing incest with her father.
Yes.
Let me tell you, sometimes God will just draw from religious people. She was a good woman at one time. She was a good woman at one time. That time, her life wasn't like that. At that time, her children's life wasn't like that. Did you know when little girls growing up and they put the two of them in the same dress, curling the hair the same way? You know how people like to do little daughters? Dress them together in the same way. Especially when you have like two girls. You think they're going to see the two of them reaching there? You think they're going to see that was going to be the future? But it's the decisions that the parents have made back there,
yeah,
when they walk away from the world, is more responsible for that down there.
Yeah.
Because in the season when they were supposed to be dying out and laying those things aside, they were wanting something else. That time they were sleeping up and seeing opportunity and career and ambition and this and so on. Begin to change their thinking about the word of God.
Yeah.
And they begin to look at the city that God said, it was very grievous. The sin was very grievous. It came before him. And they were trying to move out and become close to that very thing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. So when we look, we see things that we take into our soul. You are God's cultivated field. Your heart should be like a water garden. But it's what you have planted in your garden. It's what is growing inside your garden. It's the one that is whose thoughts are being embedded into you. It's whether you check those thoughts in the word of God. Because there's a desire for acceptance. If there's a desire for popularity. If there's a desire to compete with the rest. If there's a desire to be accepted by the world. If there's a desire, you know, to maybe be somebody in you know, maybe that you're some ambition, to fulfill some ambition or something. Well, if those seeds are there, then those seeds will bring forth after its kind. Then there'll be an attraction always to the things that will bring that to a reality. Now watch. James is saying, every man is tempted when he is drawn away. There's a drawing, there's something that draws you away. There's something that pulls you in another direction. No, there's a drawing. There's one drawing. No man can come into the Father drawing. God does a drawing too.
Yeah.
God will just come in your life, you know, make you a son of God. No. He begins to attract your attention. He lets what is in your heart be expressed. He lets what's in your heart comes out. And that begins to attract your attention. Then you begin to, like Moses, he saw something supernatural. A bush being burned had been consumed. It attracted, like Abraham heard a voice calling him. Speaking of promise, I will make you a great nation. A man who can have children. A man who is 75 years old and past that age already. But yet he carried that so long inside him. That desire to see fulfilled. That desire to get experience in that part of his life. That even though it came to him at that time as an old man, he didn't look at his age. It wasn't from a physical standpoint. It was what was done to his soul that always desired to have that experience. What a man is desiring. God, give you the desires of your heart. As a man think in his heart, so is he. There's a nature down inside of you that craves for certain things. Now when you hear people speak the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. And when you listen to what some mouths are speaking, the thoughts that is being expressed, you see what is in their heart, what fills their heart. When a man is full of the promises of God, he cannot speak as an oracle of God. He's desiring that, he's expecting it. He's looking for it day and night. Amen? Man might be able to just talk about the word in 5 minutes, but then when he really gets excited, if he's going to get his sports, boy, then you really see the man too loose when it's starting that. Yeah. Or if it's music or fashion, then you see a light bulb. It was kind of dim, but it's not a light when you get bright and bright and bright and bright. Yeah. When you get in that man's seat, then he's going to see what really fills that heart. So, there's a place where a man becomes drawn away. Moses was drawn away from his natural work, is that right? Yeah. He was minding his sheep and he left them. And he began to go towards this pillar of fire. Yeah. I want to begin to go towards this now. Because there was something in him calling for something more than just going through the daily routine. There's something in him that was eternal, that wanted to find that place where that fountain that he came from. Find that real direction in his life, that real purpose. When he saw his life come to disappointment, his plans, like it fell apart, like his life became a failure. Yeah. When he was out there just doing something, going through the emotions, because they were at the end of the road for him. Yeah. God was taking him on the high road. Yeah. And from the first glimpse of it he saw, he began to move towards it. Is that right? Yeah. What was your enthusiasm? Amen. We're going down to the soul. Yeah. Amen. This is down on the inside now. Yeah. This isn't bubble dancing now. This is down on the inside. Yeah. Now watch. He's drawn away of his own lust. It pushes him. It makes him respond to things. You see, and nature makes you respond to certain things. That's why the problem is that sin connects with sin. Life connects with life. Pharaoh looked at the same people and called them Madobas. Moses looked at them and saw the tree and the promise. It's what, when you look, what do you see? Judas looked at Jesus and just see 30 pieces of silver wood. He just put the word in the 30 pieces of silver. Not even 35. Not even 40. And the problem is Elvis Presley get more than that. He gets 6 feet of Cadillacs. You see? They begin to become drawn away. Then they become enticed. They get under a hypnotism. It becomes an obsession now. And when they begin to get enticed, that's where the blindness sets in. Because that things that draw you away and hold you under its spell and hypnotize you, that looks like it becomes real now. And if it's artificial, then real reality fades away. Because this looks right in your eyes now. Like Eve, she saw, well, that was death to begin with. But when she got under the spell, she said, but this thing is pleasant to the eyes. This thing is hard to make one wise. This thing is good for food. And what was death begin to look? It wasn't like death no more. It looked like joy, excitement, like pleasure. Now watch. Then when Lot has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And what happened? It conceived and she disbelieved God's word. See? And what happened afterwards? The day you eat, you shall surely die. So, what was a nice atmosphere? What was being the presence of God? What was fellowship with God in communion? What was a position, an estate that was given by God became a chaotic situation. They were driven out. She was outside here now, powerless, stripped of everything else, and out of her womb was coming forth dead children now. Then she began to face reality. Everything was gone. Life was being hypnotized. Oh, it looks so great. It looks so nice. She thought she didn't get enough pleasure out of it. Now that same way, that's only the development. That's only from one stage to another stage of the growth and development of that seed of error. But the seed of life, it comes the same way too. Because the same way you can plant wheat in the ground or corn in the ground, the same way you can plant some thorn or thistle in the same ground. And the same rain that's going to water and bring forth, the same rain going to water and bring forth the wheat too. Is that right? But each will bring forth after its kind. But the bedding ground will take that seed. So then what a person takes into them, what the desire, when you have a desire for the world, because sometimes, you know, somebody want to give you a desire for something worldly. Somebody want to give you a desire for some entertainment, some pleasure, some ambition. And, oh, it sounds so thrilling. And then make you some so old-fashioned. And don't talk that nonsense. Give in this sanctification, you shall surely die. What are you talking about? Give a science discover. They have nothing like that. That's the state of the mind. See, you, this religion business. And right there, you begin to open up your womb to a lie. You don't see no death in you right away. You don't even see sin. Because it's going to take a stage to bring forth. Sometimes a woman conceives, she don't even know she conceives until she takes a pregnancy test. I'm just beginning to see certain symptoms and certain things in her body different. She can be conceived, don't even know she conceived. She can't tell. Sometimes make you a test and it's too early for the test to reveal anything to. She knows she went through an experience, she knows she did something, but she don't know the result, if you have any results. Amen. Now, I want you to see when death came forth. It wasn't just instant death, but death. It was instant death, yes. But as far as they've seen it, as far as experiencing the death, with each stage, it made the death more sure. You shall surely die. Because the death itself, the separation itself, was just the end result now. Was it the full development, was the manifestation of what was there being sucked into the soul, being played with in the mind, being imagined, being enjoyed in your own little dark room where you're developing your picture. Where nobody can see in your dark room. But the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. Hallelujah! It goes between the soul and the spirit. To see the spirit where his reason and affections and imagination on the plane of the sensations, I'm going to the soul to see if he says, I believe. Yeah. Hallelujah! And it spits the wall out. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And the word get down there and say, why are you saying that? Or why are you trying to cover that up? Or why are you trying to give that wrong impression? It goes into the thoughts and the intents behind the thoughts. Say, did that have a motive behind it? Is that to lead somebody on? The word gets dear. To show debt. When it comes in, debt comes in the form of a lust. But a lust is only a desire. Lust in the Bible means desire. And it could mean either one. It depends on the way it's used in the scripture. It would be called lust or desire. It's really desire. Then a person covets and they want it, they desire. When you try to seek it, when God don't give it to you. James is showing. He says, it brings forth sin. And sin is when a man stands there and he cannot believe the word of God. He cannot believe the promise no more. What has brought the man in the condition that he cannot believe the promise? But he's going to surely die now. He's not going to feel in the word of God because he's disbelieving the very thing that is to give him life. But he's been trapped in it. He's been enticed. He's been drawn away and enticed. An enticing spirit. An enticement is what foreruns the act. When a person is seduced, they've been enticed for this. Except a person is raped. But if you say it, then rape Eve in that sense. The enticer. You got control of the mind, her thinking first. Because she opened up to reasoning. No, get what I'm coming from. She was the channel to bring for Christ. Yeah. Eve was the channel to bring for Christ. Yeah. You are the channel to bring for Christ in this hour. Yeah. But if what's coming out of your life is not Christ, it's not the living word made manifest, then you gotta watch what is coming forth in your life. You can call it Christ. You can call it what you want. You can say that behavior is like God. You can say this is the way God will act in here. You can say this is the way God is talking. This is the way God is thinking. It might be a temper. It might be your arrogance. It might be your flesh. And you might call it God. Like Eve said, I've got a man from the Lord. But it was not from the Lord. Sure, in one sense, God gave all life. But what you're trying to make God the father of, that was from the devil. Amen. So when you look and see this, now watch. Sin bringeth forth death. Now, I want to read something here to start a bill on this. This is how the Latin woman Jezebel paid 2.77 years. The Apostle James showed us the course that sin takes.
the course that sin takes. Now, faith takes a certain course too. Now, bring your one side to show the next side. And show the parallel. Because remember Mary. Mary received the word. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't let it reason at all. She just received it. And how shall this thing be? Just the angel speaking the word. And she saw the scripture. Because she desired to see Israel receive the Messiah. Like Simeon, my eyes have seen thy salvation. They long for that redemption in Israel. They look for that hope, the dead spring from on high. They're under oppression, they're under bondage. They long for a deliverer. Those are the hopes in the Garden of Eden. Maybe she desired as an Israelite, as part of a believing nation. But it's going to come greater than that. It's going to come through our own life. But maybe she wasn't trying to draw it to begin with. She might have felt it's wrong to try to say, I wish I could have been that virgin. She might have a low self-estimation of her own self. Well, after all, I grew up in Nazareth. Can any good thing come over here? I mean, this is a little famous city. After all, I tried to live true. And Balaam said, to have a virgin in an ill-famed city like Nazareth is sure the girl could keep herself virtuous no matter what evil the place is. No matter what prostitution and all kind of ill-famed things taking place and ungodly and sexy and all the different things there in the place that's so worldly, yet a young girl kept the virginity, kept believing God there and received an angelic visitation. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. She still thought about self-respect. She still understood what holy decency is. Yeah. Still gonna think pure thoughts and keep herself from being defiled. Yeah. Now watch. But when that word came to her, when that word began to pour through that angel mouth, and she saw the scripture, and she said, how shall these things be? See, I don't know a man. You know, if you had this bunch of rottenness back there with this Mike Tyson case we had there, this girl who tried to paint up some pictures, a religious person, an usher in a church. And she's a Christian. And we're doing 2 o'clock in the morning. Inside a hotel room. We're doing the beginning in a beauty contest show. Walking naked up, half naked up and down before men. And then 2 o'clock out in the morning there. And then it, and it show how there's no justice today. A court. People sitting in judgment. Men, learned men. Go through all through the schools of law and everything. Sit down there and say, yes. And this poor little decent Christian usher. Look what Christianity come to. Look what Christianity made a mockery, even the halls of justice. It's just Satan having his own way, trying to belittle the things of God. Make a mockery out of what is decent and what is right. Yet the whole world fall for it because the God of this world have blinded them from what is true. But if they come around this message and they hear what a prophet said, they will know how God think about these things. Amen. If you look back in the page of that Bible, amen. Amen. And realize that God don't change. Amen. They may change the standards. They may make it more acceptable. It was sin in our past, but it's acceptable today because we think indifferent. But what makes us think different is sometimes right is right, sometimes wrong is wrong. Amen. But you know that false and people want to have them call it Christianity. Deceive their own selves. Live in blindness. Purposely because they love sin on the inside. But watch Mary. Mary could have keep herself decent still. And when that word began to come from that angel mouth, she said, how shall things be? And he said, the Holy Ghost, shall overshadow thee, and you shall conceive and bring forth. So she too is going to conception. She too is going to bring forth. She was going to travail in pain to be delivered. Now she had a few more days to be accomplished that she should be delivered. She was going to bring forth a man child. Then when Jesus came and planted the seed, the gospel, to bring forth Christianity, when the Hebrew church travailing under the law, under the birth pains of the Old Testament prophets, he says, you always come. A woman of sorrow will always come. She will travail. Is that right? She's going to bring forth. Hallelujah! And the joy that a man child is being born. Glory be to God, amen. Christianity, the world is becoming flesh and wrote the book of Acts. Amen. Something was being planted there too. Something was being conceived. Something was being brought forth in a certain season. It was happening from this physical realm to the spiritual realm. It don't change. The devil who had planted that false church from Cain without the worship coming down through the air, come right through the ark, come up through Nimrodim, come right down through. In Jesus' time, when he saw them, he said, vain do these worship me, preaching the doctrine, the commandments of men, making the word of God of no effect. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and his works he will do. Is that right? He was bringing forth something there too. But here he was bringing forth the word. He said, who can condemn me of sin? Hallelujah! Who can condemn me of sin? There's no sin there. He was without sin. He said, Father, I do those things that please you always. He had one desire, a holy man taste, to please the Father. Hallelujah! Because he was the Word incarnate. He was bringing forth life. He was bringing forth the Word. He said, the works I do testify who I am. He was bringing forth something. What's the cause of faith and what's the cause of sin? I'm trying to lay out the principle for you before we bring it into two women and show these two women come into power. And women in the Bible represent churches. And there's a true church and there's a false church. That principle comes down even to the life of the believer, because individually we are all part of the body of the bride of Christ if we are born by God's Spirit. Amen. Is that right? Yes. We are female in designation in the Word of God. Yes. To become pregnated by the Word of God for this age. Yes. Amen? Yes. And if we become pregnant by the Word of God, what will we bring forth? The Word of God. Yes. And who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. And how will he know is Jesus Christ coming forth out of our life? How will he know is he speaking through all this? How will he know is he thinking our mind? How will he know is Christ in our hands? The Bible said he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he said, by the fruit you shall know the tree. Is that right? Because a good tree can't bring forth corrupt fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Whatever seed started in a tree will grow into a plant and then into fruit. This church didn't just happen. Half the time this church existed only in the mind of God. I'm talking locally. The same way you can apply it for the age. Same way you can apply it for the entire seven church ages. Half the time you didn't even exist in this form. You existed only in the mind of God. But then God had a season for you to come forth. God had a season for you to be expressed. Is that right? Yes. Amen. Yes. So he said, let's look at the course that sin takes. And he wanted to show us sin in the church. How it started in the church, coming in. And how it's going to end up in the last days. When death, the pale horse, comes and take over. And hell follows death. They become worshippers of death. They become partakers of death. They reject the tree of life. They don't want no part of heaven. So they have their part in the lake of fire. They reject eternal life when they are confronted with it. Then there is some But under no circumstances, you can keep the norm. Like that little lily, they're pushing through that muck. They're pushing through that mud. They're pushing their way out in the air to come up into his presence. Like Abraham, he staggered not through unbelief. The critics couldn't stop him. Amen. He considered his own body now dead. Why? Held the word of promise. He nursed the word of, he wanted the word of promise. He didn't just make believe it. He didn't just sympathize with it. He didn't just reason with it and go along and think it was right. He believed it. He sold out to it. He submitted it. He let it rule him and govern his life. He called it Lord and Master. Unless the word of God can become that to you, forget it. So he said the Apostle James shows us the course that sin takes. Every man, when he is tempted, when he's drawn away, is tempted when he's drawn away. Being drawn away is a process. You look at it like Nelly Sanders. You look at it again. Can't go where the right Nelly is.
Amen.
Amen. This one's a dance, that one's a dance too. Yeah, you saw this one dancing the other night. Amen. See? So watch. See, I don't want to get too tense over here. See, this is to kind of relax you a little bit. So the message, we're just trying to bring you a principle of something to show you how that true bride is always coming to fit. But that word that was planted, it was God in seed form. It was God growing up inside of you. Is God going to be expressed at you? But how could God comfort in you as fruit if God didn't comfort into you as seed? Amen? It's not magic. God is working by a law of planting, of sowing and reaping. It's a law of reproduction. God is coming through a certain channel. God is planting seed that has certain characteristics are what's going to be here. When God said, let there be mango. But if he meant calabash, it couldn't be doodles. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It could be veil or something. It had to be mango. Yeah. The one that God meant. Yeah. The species that God is talking about. Yeah. When he said, let the earth bring out grass. The Bible just put in a condensed from grass, but no man did begin to discover it's much of a species of grass. But in that one thought, in that very concept, it had every species that God intended. Amen. And so, if God wanted a bride in this age to manifest the fullness of Christ, to walk like Christ, to do the works of Christ, to behave like Christ, to act like Christ under persecution, to act like Christ in time of crisis, to deal with situations like Christ, then God had to have a seed planted that would bring forth the person of Christ. Amen. How he walks, how he talks, how he acts. All that must be in the air. Yeah. It just can't be maybe the feet alone, or maybe the hands alone, or maybe the lips alone. Have to be the complete, the fullness of that word. The fullness of that revelation of that person. You get me now? Because Luther didn't bring for that person, we know that. Wesley didn't bring for the fullness of that person. But in this day we saw the very one in the image and likeness. Life of his life, word of his word, spirit of his spirit, faith of his faith, virtue of his virtue. It was him again. And a seed, as it grows and matures, reveals itself. You are beginning to see what it is. Physically, you have little children growing up. You don't know what all is in them to be manifested physically. You're in a certain season. Then you see a boy on the run. And you lean towards running. And then you start to realize, yeah, back in the genes, had somebody who was a runner. Don't have somebody who might be a horse rider, yet when that he didn't lead those horse riding, so you see the line of the genes come true. You see the characteristics that was breeded in. But the reason it never expressed itself at an earlier stage is because there wasn't the conditions around the child at that age. But when he's reach a certain stage and the conditions begin to come around him, then he comes into a place where he may have to make a decision. Then certain external things begin to influence and pull him in a certain direction, and he's been drawn away astray. That God was drawing Abram away from his father and mother and kindred and country and these things into a land. God was drawing him away. By bringing his word as thoughts into his mind. Those thoughts get into his heart. It begins to influence his life. He becomes so hypnotized. If I want to use the word just to reflect it from the natural standpoint, he becomes so obsessed with God's promise, everything is going to be shut out. And you see, a man gets shut in with God, same way a man gets shut in with the world, and God gets shut out. Let me tell you, in everyone's life, they will have to look back and see the junction. Some people today, the reason why some of them in a condition today, they didn't make the decisions they ought to make at a certain stage. And I say, look at Lot in one stage before he made the decision that he made to go to Sodom. I look at him in the stage after he made the decision to go to Sodom. But look and see circumstances that come. It's when they begin to get increased in capital too. When they begin to get increased in certain things. When the herdsmen begin to fight among themselves. These circumstances, the external things that made him felt he's his own man, I want his own thing and go in a certain direction. And caused him to see the leadership of God the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that was the turning point when he got blinded. But before those external things grew like that, he could be saying, boy, see what Abraham is? But God talking to Abraham, boy, and this promise Abraham talking about, he can kind of pass just now, look at the faith Abraham had, look what happened after he went there. I know Abraham is no fighter. Look at that man. God helped him to deliver me from the kings and them. See? And he had opportunities. But what was happening? Why he went back to Sodom afterwards? After he was taken to captivity when the kings and them took him away, Abraham went and delivered him, and yet he went back afterwards. Abraham was praying for him and came back out. You see, it had grown to a stage and had taken him over, he couldn't retrace them steps anymore. Because that was greater in him now at that stage. So he's going to be a Christian, he's going to be a world Christian. He's going to be a halfway Christian. But he had the opportunity at one stage to be a true Christian. But no, the desire to resist and fight, you don't have it no more. The energies to go after business and material things. Oh, it's like the adrenaline flow whenever you see them opportunities.
Yeah.
When they're going to pray and to sacrifice for God and to walk closer and to, get away where you can be alone with God and these things. Like when that time comes, you don't have time for that.
Yeah.
It's like everything that just get clustered up. And you just can't get things sorted out. When you have to go for a vacation or go for this over here, it's like everything will fall into place. Because you'll fight, you'll persevere to get those things. Get tickets to the concert, get things for vacation plan over here, get things for over here. Oh, you just have the energy for those because he's more motivated in that kind of challenge. The cause of sin. But it's a cause of faith. Amen. Look at Joshua and Caleb coming to that course of faith. And they saw great men all around them. They saw about 2/3 of the congregation almost, going this way, being destroyed here, going after Balaam, going after Abiram, going after Dathan, getting confused over here with the spies' report. Yet they hang in there and labor and toil and labor and toil and labor and toil. Amen! Stay true to the word regardless I'm going to thank him. God said, only these two going over into the promise. Amen. Why? The world could have grown because of faith. And when the challenges came and the battles came, they were right there at the moment ready to ride over every persecution, to ride over every obstacle. Amen. Because they were drawing from another realm. They were being drawn away from all these other things. The same way the others being drawn away from the world to other things. They were being drawn away from other things to the world. Every man when he's tempted is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when he had conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. He said, now that is a picture of exactly what is happening in the church ages. That is a picture. I shoot in Abraham's life, trying to shoot in the Exodus, because all of that type of the church ages. I shoot in Eve, because all of that type of the church ages. And that is what is now bringing forth at the end of the age. If that was the course it was taken through the ages, then it's bringing forth at the end of the age. Who is that unbelief? Who is that debt coming forth in? Who is those people end up can't take all the word and disbelieve the promise of God for the hour? And is going to die. Because life only comes by the word. Listen to this. The word of God cannot produce death. It is impossible for the word of God to produce death. Because the word is God. God is life. But death comes by tampering with the word. That's why if a man add one word or take away one word, he's finished. Death can't come in. That's why for Satan to bring death in the Garden of Eden, he had to inject, you shall not die. He added a word to what God said. He tampered with the word. Not the woman, he tampered with the word. And she was get herself deluded and receive an adulterated word. I want you to see adulterated word. It began to kill her spiritually and then physically. Then she could not bring forth what she was intended to bring forth. Because the word of God was going to comfort her unadulterated through the mouth of Adam. And their sons that are coming to existence. Amen?
Yeah.
Why did the church die? And in the last days, we see a whole bunch of people call themselves Christians, and they come out of the church system. How could the church that started off original bring forth that? Second Corinthians 11 says, as Satan beguiled Eve, should these corrupt the minds of the simplicity of Christ, preaching another gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. So, he said, no, that's what's happening in the church ages. As sin started in nothing but a feeling. So, the death in the church started with the simple little notice deeds of the Nicolaitans in the church. Now what? As sin started with nothing but a feeling. Now remember, the same way explain the church come, we come through as individuals too. Well, you remember the time of that church coming through until he brought forth the word. But the word hadn't come to his mind first. Had to come to his heart and then bring forth in his life. And he called everything contrary to that word a lie. And he staggered not at the promise of God. And nobody could mix that to him at all. Is that right? Now watch. For you to bring forth the word, Miss Howard, if you want to take each something, like say, you have something that choked in the word right now. And the word, you know, weed that out, take that out. The rate that is growing at, and the conditions that is existing, where you presently are, it's going to be too strong for you to deal with it in 4 months' time. Because the tears flourish faster than the wheat. And maybe the present atmosphere in the office, or the present atmosphere over in your school, or the present atmosphere in your community, or the present thing that you're involving yourself with, and have no real spiritual profit, no real spiritual benefit to you, is moving in so strong and so rapid. And because that you're not under the true kind of fellowship of the world, you're not in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, there's no real prayer in your life, you're not really taking the word of God, you're not really feeding on the nourishment that you need to deal with that, because you might get a little cold. And they begin to realize the resistance going on, lose some sleep, they exert some energy and so on, they're kind of tired, they begin to get a little sniffle, next thing they get a little cold. By the time they get tuberculosis or asthma, whatever it is, I mean, if they are going to take it and knock that thing out early, by the time they, what will be a little common flu, become a tuberculosis. Because the environment we're in, the work we're doing, it was just contributing to the advancement of that and development of that which they take in. You understand me? That's why people are finding themselves struggling with things. It's like yesterday I was controlling, but today I can't, like it overpowered me. Like tomorrow, I fear that I might even be a Christian tomorrow. I say I lose my strength. When it comes like that, it's scary. See? That's why as the hour comes up and the conditions rise, as a Christian, but you might look and see the Jordan overflowing banks. That is the very hour when God said cross. Or you might see so much of giants in the land. And that's the hour God says, you can take the land. You don't back down and get all kind of paranoid and woke up and lose your faith in these things. Why? Because if you've been feeding the word there, that word in you becomes anointed to deal with the circumstances around you. Because when God gives you a command, that command has the ability to fulfill the very command that God has given you. Amen. When you take in the word, it can mix it with faith. Yeah. But when you reach with the word, when you kind of think, well, we're dying right, and I want this too. But I want this, you know, but I don't want this as much as I want it, because right now, like, I want this more than this. So I find myself, when the decision has to be made, I'm going to sacrifice the world, I'm going to sacrifice my Christianity, because like right now I'm so obsessed with this, and the pulsation so strong, and the urge so great, and like I starve for this so long, and I imagine this, and I enjoy this on a mental plane for so long, and now like I see it become a reality. Well, you're already obsessed, you have no resistance no more. Well, what if that was your word now? And you see, wait now, this is the moment. On that word here, I can walk out and receive my deliverance right now. Because I've been praying for this. I've been reading my people who've been delivered. And I'm hearing a word coming to me this hour. I'm going to rise up and walk out here and meet God, amen. But what happens? Sometimes when the word comes forth, the person rises in there. They're so weak, they're watching it. And God's telling them, tonight you could get delivered. And they can walk out it. And they go through. And they say, but we have some nice meetings. We're so happy. We dance, we shout. But if you come back this week and you have deliverance and you're going to go back and fight up with the same old things that you fight up in the past 2 weeks, then in what realm were you relating to the experiences? Are you going to come wrong another wrong of sympathizing? again? Or are you going to say, I got a word from the Lord? Amen. It was a season for me. I get the courage to step out. Amen. Hallelujah. Is the end of fooling around for me? I want to be serious from this day onward. Amen. I'm convinced I ain't playing church no more. God witnessed to me. It's very close. The end is here. I done all my nonsense. Or you're going to say, homie, this comes just now, get excited. You convention July and so on, so in December and November in Venezuela. Is that the message? What are the internal? The cause of faith. The cause that faith, where faith brings forth power and works and victory and deliverance. Amen! Yes. Hallelujah! Because that word is anointed, is water, is bringing forth of its kind in your life. Yes. Amen. Yes. Because you mix the word with faith. Yes. Because in your own heart and your own sincerity, you make your pledges before God. Yes. You plant on your stake. Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, just come in church, because you have visitors and different things, and you clap and sing before some service start. I'm going to be just going, the clapping going. Like if they bring it to customs and they bring it here, or some cosmetic, or some spiritual cosmetic for the visitors who come along. So we can look best dressed spiritually. And then like Cinderella at midnight, it fades away. And they come back to the rags and the pumpkin. Amen! Glory, amen! Or if you realize, when you put it in, you get out it. And when you take up your position and you create the atmosphere, the Holy Ghost can work, amen! And when you're willing to step out and be responsible and exercise in what you know to be the truth, amen, and apply the word with confidence, amen, it operates and begins to live! Glory! I'm not close, I didn't get to this two more yet. But I'm going to leave it right there. It's a little mystery for you until Sunday, maybe. Amen. You get to them two women. I'm still trying to get out of James 1 here. This little quote. I've since started in nothing but a feeling. Somebody says, I got feelings for this. Can you see me? You know how you're feeling for? You better check them feelings. We gonna get deep. I realize we got some months inside of here. You just know when something. You gotta work with something right there, you see? Show the debt to the church. And we take the sin and the debt. Or we take the faith and the life. We're going to come through the same channel. The same way Eve reasoned the word, received an adulterer into the world, and brought forth a Cain. Same way Mary heard the word, mixed with faith, and brought forth Christ. One yield yourself to error, one yield yourself to truth. Yeah. One could have reason, and one cast down the reason when they realize what has been spoken was the scripture. Yeah. And he said, talking about the church, he said, from the deed, it went to a doctrine. From a doctrine, to embrace the power of the state, and the introduction of paganism. Now in this age, it goes on to its own prophetess teacher, and so it travels on until it will find itself in the lake of fire, for that is exactly where it is going to end up, in the second death. He takes it where sin started, and show the cause of sin, and how it comes, and show what James and them was describing was sin, and it brings it right down to the history of the human race, into the church, right out, until it's destroyed in the lake of fire, and new heaven and new earth, there is nothing like that there. Isn't God wonderful? When you see Lucifer was up in heaven and say, I will be like God, I'll be the most high, I'll do this, I'll have a kingdom. And then you see how he was cast down, how he was going to work for 6,000 years, just like how God made the earth and everything else. The civilization, the first civilization. And then now Satan perverts everything, and then God wipes it away and bring it back. Well, when sin come into your life, did you know, you born as a result of that sin back there? And you come with a false birth, and the nature sin inside of you, and it's struggling, and you're going to fight it and go through different things. But then you get the baptism of fire at one stage in your life. It turn your body heavenly. Amen. It bring your body in obedience. No sin there can't rule inside of you. Can't dominion. Until God bring you back, until come back a very new body, just like it was how Adam was created in the beginning without sin. Sure. Let me tell you, this same way God's going to do it for the earth, he's going to do it for you. And that nature in your soul is already gone. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that nature in your flesh will leave too. And then one day you'll stand with a new body. We shall all be changed. Mortal, plural, mortality, corruption, plural, corruption. Is that right? And that is this very age. May God give us a baptism of fire after this little feast of tabernacles we have. If one of the feast of tabernacles, the Holy Spirit loose like that there Monday night. See? No, Israel just set up the tent and have a feast, you know. And but they had a lot of survival work in that still. But then God gave us some of the old survival work. Amen. See? That bring a complete change. Blessed be his wonderful name. You desire that tonight? See the course of faith in your life? See that the word coming in? You're going to take out a word? It might be like a little simple word, but you can say, I believe it, Lord. Might make my heart a bending ground to receive it. Let it get on inside there. Let me conceive that word. I know that you're an adulterated word. I know that you're spoken word of God. I know that you express thoughts of Jehovah. I know the Bible says that. Hallelujah! Make my heart a bending ground for it. Let it grow. Let me water it with prayer and faith, Lord. Let me exercise it. Let it grow and develop. Let it consume me and take me over. Until my very thoughts, my actions, my deeds, my everything will be an expression of the very life of Christ. Maybe I could be a picture, a letter written by your own hand for this world to read. Oh my, let's sing. Let my life be a picture of you. A letter written by your hand for the world to read and to see and to feel and to know what you live in me. Amen. I'm going to pick up Sunday morning. I want to get to them two women and show you how it's coming up. Two Gentile women in the same hour. One, a woman of faith, a true worship of the true God. Both confronted with the message of the hour. One reject it and one receive it. One came in the political power and one came in the real spiritual power. In your own life, the things you want to see. He who begin the work in you will perform it even until that day. He who planted a seed in you as a soul, bring forth a crop as a great harvest and reap that crop in your life. He who watered it and pruned that vine, that will bring forth fruit and the fruit will remain. Word fruit. His own life, his own nature, and people see Jesus Christ living in you. And that doubt comes from because he planted that word in you. Look at the little principle James uses there, that David speaks of. What looks so simple, so ordinary? How it grows inside of us. How it develops. What is growing inside of you tonight? What are your impulses? Where are your affections set? How willing you are. How much strength do you feel moving within you when it comes to mortifying your members upon you? How much readiness is in you to revenge all disobedience? How How much strength do you feel? How much zeal do you have to pull up the strongholds of reason, imagination, these things, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? How much passion do you have tonight? How much of it run to your apostolic blood to want to pray and consecrate your life and stand for this word of conviction and purpose? How much resentment you have to spit the world out? And when temptation comes, to resist the devil and see him flee from you. Oh, how weak do you feel that when the temptation comes, you find you dangling on a tread like a yo-yo in the devil's hand? Oh, you find when the fiery darts come, there ain't no shield of faith to quench not one of them. You begin to run and you scare your own life. What do you feel in your heart tonight? What do you feel in your soul tonight? As a Christian, not what somebody think about you. Somebody got a false conception of you. What do you think about that very word in your own life? You know your inner desires. You know your cravings. Like Abraham said, Lord, shall I go childless? He said, didn't you tell me you're going to bring forth a great nation out of my life? Look, this hard time I'm going through. And the voice came back and said, don't fear, Abraham. That God will confirm the covenant and an order confirmation at the end of all strifes. Anchor the faith in a greater way. Why? He was interested in the promise coming to pass in his own life. He was remembering what God spoke to him. He was wanting, looking for it every day in his life. He wouldn't go around and say, yeah, God said, so maybe I'm reading my book at time. Maybe I hear picture people get there. Oh. It was spoken to him in a personal way. He took it personal. He looked into his own life. When he began to see, things maybe look a little different in his own life. And he wasn't sure. He didn't say, I don't care. He wanted to know. He decided to inquire of the Lord. God said, no, you're not going childless. Then he comes to a season and they're trying to manufacture something outside the creative will of God. And God said, throw that thing out. That's not it. God said, I'll call him. This time next year, Sarah of a surety will bring for that child. He was still trying to hold on to things that God wanted to put him in his life. He said, Lord, what is Ishmael? God said, don't talk to me about that no more. Put it away. Oh, well, I like it, Lord. Put it away. You have to come into the real depths of obedience. If you love me, you obey my commandments, he said. Then nurse from me. Nurse the strength for me to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Draw from the word. Get strength and power and might in the inner man. It's not the outer man, it's not Shaddai. The inner man. The soul and joy from the word, the revealed word. He has revealed his breast to us. He has revealed the fullness of his word. He has revealed to us the strength of place and power. Say, tis so sweet to trust, just to take, just to rest upon the promise, just to know it's just yet the Lord. Draw from it, and you'll find it gives you a strength to put away them things, to separate, to bring it under your feet. Amen. To walk with true expectations, to live in anticipation. That I who begin to work in you will perform it even until that day. I will keep my promise. I remember my promise. I see you remember yours when they try you and test you. I see you remember yours. He remembers them little prayers that we make. He remembers them little places we walk and we take our hat off. He remembers them places we whisper things to him where nobody has heard. And we say, oh God, you really helped me today. I'm going to try to be more sincere. He remembers them things. And so I bring them and say, yes, but you told me so that time. And look at you today. And he told me so. And he points out to us our own insincerity. And he points out to us when we get blessed, we see all kinds of things. And then after we go back away, we forget to live in that estate. We try to even flatter God, who knows the heart. Oh, my, we should be ashamed. Sometimes Sometimes we just show him, oh God, we wait. We say things. We should confess all that too. Lord, we say things. We got to work up. And then we guys will live it afterward, but help us. We want to keep every word. We want to be true to every word. We want to walk close to you. We want to be a real son, a real daughter to you. See the positive, the faith, the word, the promise. So let my life be all through the prayer. Let my life be a picture of you. Let my life be a picture of you. Oh, let it be a letter to you. Let it be a letter of you, Lord, not worldliness, not religion, but of the living God. Oh, let my life be a picture of you, Lord. Oh, God, let it be a letter. A letter written by your own hand, your handwriting, Lord. For the world to read. To see and to know you. Live, oh, live in me. Oh, one more time, let my life, if you really desire that tonight, and your life will be a reflection of his life, will be an expression of his word. A picture of you. Let it be a letter written by your hand for the world to read and to see and to know. Heavenly Father, God, as we express that little chorus unto you tonight as a prayer, as the object of our souls, as to an innermost desire deeply rooted from deep down within us that pushes us, causes us to press on the upward pathway. God, desiring to be the very expression of your word, to come forth in your very own image, in your very own likeness, to hear your voice at the end, says, this is my beloved son and this is my beloved daughter, to be the perfect manifestation of the word of the living God without one flaw in this hour, to be Jehovah's masterpiece. Hallelujah. God, we know that you had a great thought in your mind to build that masterpiece again. Oh, God, and then to unveil it the world could see your workmanship created unto good works. To see, dear God, your great achievement that you brought back man back to that perfection once again. Oh, God, then even to smite it. Then, Lord, a ministry of that unveiled and smitten masterpiece which have been built. To show forth, Lord, as a original word. It's those sons and daughters. There was a come forth under that first commission when he said, multiply and replenish. Knowing yet God and Adam and Eve had failed to carry that commission, Lord. But through this new creation, this second Adam and this second Eve, Lord, we are seeing those word children, Lord, in your image and your likeness. We've seen that reflection, that very image. That super race, Lord. Oh, God, as your word goes through its course, the course of faith, from faith unto faith, and that seed of your word has been planted, grow and develop as it's watered and it's cultivated. Now it is hard to bring forth fruit. Lord, we realize that it's not so in every life because there's been a seed of deceit planted also in the course of sin. A set in justice, the course of faith has set in. Seen two kinds of children, Lord. In the New Testament, out of them two wombs. Both crops coming forth in the evening time. One going up to hell and one going up into heaven. The rapture being revealed to give translation faith. The mysteries being revealed to literally turn their heart and the children to lift them off the face of the earth like Enoch, Lord. Hallelujah! To take them up into glory. While the other is so earthbound and sensual and fleshly, full of unbelief, trapped in this dimension, cannot break through that time barrier into this great, glorious, eternal age, into this raptured age. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that there's some people that's been quickened and changed and translated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How we appreciate that tonight. To know these things, to recognize these things happening. This is not a story, Lord. It's not some idea of some man. It's the revealed plan of God's word. God make it real in our hearts. May it put us the courage and the faith to fight despite the fate. The battle against the forces of darkness. We can stand determined. We made up our minds. We'll serve the Lord. The cross before us and the wall behind us. No turning back. Clean cut decision, Lord. Like David said, my heart is fixed. My soul followeth hard after thee. Oh God, may you grant tonight. We thank you for your presence, thank you for your word. We thank you, dear God. Even for them that sit here believing. May be lifted up, Lord, into that place where we can see this great transformation that comes by faith in your revealed word. Grant it, Lord. Bless the children. Take them safely to their homes. Watch over them and be with them. Bring us back on Friday. Time of prayer. We can pray over these things, Lord. We can meditate on it, Lord. Oh God, this is reality. Let the world be shut out. Let be shut in your presence. Let us feed on your word. Let be nourished up with these words of faith. Yeah, God, when we come and we have a see the real evidence of a revival and a move of the Spirit when the people have been in the prayer meeting. It's good to dance, it's good to shout and sing in service. But Lord, we see the reality when we get on our knees to pray. Oh God, then we know what men and women are made of. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. then we see the ruggedness and the reality of what we possess. May these Gentile warriors, who's anointed with your design to harvest time, who is willing to draw the sword and take a stand with you and cut their way to the bring this clean fresh drink, may they meet on prayer ground come Friday night, Father. Yeah, God, may we see your spirit begin to be multiplied and move out in such a way we can see this faith produce the very promise, Lord, that we are contending for tonight. Grant, Father, we commit each and every one to your hands. Keep us in the channel of your inspiration. Keep our hearts and minds locked in. We can feed on the hidden manna, Lord. We can nourish up. We can keep in communion with your Holy Spirit. Please, Father, won't you do that for us? How we love you. You are everything, Lord. We are determined to make up our minds. We'll serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep us true, Lord Jesus. Give us power every hour. Hallelujah. Give us grace to run this race. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, we commit everyone to your hands. Amen. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. True, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm determined. I made up my mind. You made up your mind tonight? You feel that determination in your heart? Amen. The word of God give you courage. You want to stand. You want to be a rugged Christian, rugged faith. You want to see the faith of the fathers live still. Not no hybrid faith. Not no hybrid church members. Rugged faith. Amen. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory be to God. Amen. I am determined. I made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I am. Oh, we want to press on to a greater faith, a real substance, Holy Ghost faith. Amen. Perfect faith. God bless you. See you Friday, Lord willing.